Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back, SOB, Season 2, Episode 20. We don't know what's going on out there right now. Everybody that thought they were going to slide right into the playoffs were so wrong. Things have changed. Things have changed. What's going on, Lasha? What's good out there?
Yeah, man. We got about a month and a week to go in the season. And things are coming down the chain fast. Like you said, this week's episode, we're talking about who's going to take the National League West. It's all of a sudden
it's
a close tie, or it is about
to tie. No, it's not a tie anymore. It's not a tie anymore. As of last night,
the lead, I think.
San Diego won 5 in a row. They swept the San Francisco Giants and are the sole leaders of that division right now. I love it. Because you know what? Atlanta's been, you know, we'll talk about Atlanta in a second, but let's talk about the Dodgers. They spend all that money. They strive every year with the free agency. You know, they get everybody they want, they need, because they look so pretty from, you know, the distance. When everybody's looking in, they're like, wow, I want to play for that team. They're the new Yankees of the league, you know what I'm saying? But they haven't been playing well. The pitching hasn't been so good, you know. Otani finally, like, figured it out. He's still hitting his home runs. He's doing his thing. But the team itself isn't, you know, what it used to be. But San Diego looks like they're real. They're not playing around. They just swept, you know, San Francisco, who was up there as well. They were close, and now they can't. They look like they're far in the mirror, and it doesn't look like they have a shot. But you never know. You never know, because they're tough as well. But I love it. Talk to me, baby.
Yeah, well, what helped San Diego was that, about a month ago, or maybe less than that, you know, the Dodgers went on a 7-game losing streak, and the Padres went very aggressive in the trade deadline. They got a bunch of pitchers. They got 2 pitchers from Oakland or Las Vegas, whatever. They got a couple hitters from Baltimore and some other things. So they're in it. They're all in, and they are a good team. And the Dodgers, I think their problem right now is their starting pitching has kind of been struggling.
Yeah, their pitching is kind of
bullpen.
Yeah.
The guy they got from San Diego, I think, or Miami last year, Scott, the closer, he hasn't been as what they thought he was expected to be. So that's why. So I don't know if that's their problem.
It's not good for them. Yeah. Last night I was watching the Dodgers game after the Mets got destroyed, right? And Anaheim was able to pull it off, get 2 runs, right? In the bottom of the 8th, they were able to get 2 runs, take the lead 6-5, and win it. So
that
didn't help at all. That didn't help at all. So it looks good. There's a lot of funny things happening out there. You know, the Mets are struggling so bad. Peterson is struggling. You know, I figured he'd go at least 6-7 last night. He was only able to provide 4. He got smoked. We were winning 6-0, ended up losing 11-6, man. Atlanta scored 9 runs in the 4th inning last night with a grand slam after they tried to stop the bleeding and brought Garrett in, and that definitely didn't work. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was at the game last night, and after the rain delay, it rained like it was so bad out there, and I can't believe we actually pulled it off and were able to play. And wow, that happened. And I don't know what to say. I don't think the Mets have what it takes. My dad was at the game last night. My dad has been to all these games this year, and he has not lost. He lost last night for the first time this year. It's kind of crazy. He was our new mascot, but obviously it didn't work out. It's so sad. Yeah. We have no shot at this.
Yeah, we were talking off air, and I was just saying, I think the problem with Mendoza is he doesn't know when to take out the guy. He leaves the pitcher in one too bad along, and that's what happened yesterday. He left in Harris one too. I forgot who was pitching at the time.
Peterson.
Peterson, he left him in there a little too long, and Michael Harris came in, and boom, grand slam. And once he hit that grand slam,
that was off of Garrett, because yeah, we tried to stop the bleeding. But he did leave him in too long.
More Garrett than
he left him in too. He left
Peterson. One of your best pitchers.
He has been. I mean, but he's been tired. Bullpen. He's tired too, bullpen wise. Yeah, he's been tired too. Like, I mean, listen, you can't. The reason Mendoza leaves these guys in for so long is because he doesn't want to fuck up the bullpen. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to, you know, build a bridge, but the bridge is collapsing every day. You know, we cannot get past four innings when it comes to starting rotation.
He doesn't want to wear him out. Yeah,
he doesn't want to wear. He doesn't want to wear the bullpen out. I understand what he's trying to do. If we're gonna go on this run right now, we're still holding on to that last wild card slot. And the funny thing is that Cincinnati keeps winning. They played the Phillies last night and they smoked the Phillies. And Cincinnati's right behind us on that last wild card slot. And I believe that Cincinnati will prevail and take that slot away from the Mets. I have no doubt in my mind right now at the moment with this pitching debacle that we have going on that we will not make the playoffs and we will not catch the Phillies, even though we have a couple of series left with the Phillies. The Dodgers as well have six games coming up against the Padres in the next 12 days. So that means that it's going to come down to that. You know, if San Diego can hold them off and knock them down, then they're going to look really good. All the divisions have problems right now. Everybody that thought they were coasting was so wrong. Chicago is another team that was coasting the whole season. And then Milwaukee got super hot. They're on a 12-game winning streak again for like the second time this year. And they're at 76 games right now. And Chicago's struggling at 67. It's getting crazy out here. It's getting crazy. Chicago's 8 games back from that division. So now Chicago's looking at a wild card or nothing. They hold one of the two wild card slots on top, you know, and the Mets have the third one, you know. So right now it's LA, Chicago, and the Mets. Cincinnati's closing in. So things could change. You know, if the Mets lose today in Chicago and Cincinnati wins, then guess what? The Mets are out of the playoffs. But listen, there's still 41 games left. A lot can happen. Like you said, a month and change left. The schedule's getting harder for the Mets. They have to play Detroit in September. They have to play a lot of good teams. Seattle's coming up. A lot of teams that are fighting, you know, to get into the playoffs. In the American League, Toronto's another team that, you know, was able to right the ship. I don't even know how they were able to pull that off so quickly.
I'll tell you how. It's called the Yankees helped them out.
Nah, I don't think that it's
Yankees
not even about that.
Struggling like crazy.
No, but you don't forget that Toronto ended up, you know, selling last year. And then they did the ultimate move where they said, you know what, we're going to keep our number one and sign him for a long term. So we don't really know how they pulled it off. They were able to get 14 players back. Only, you know, a couple of them have played, but none of them are really making a big statement. You know what I'm saying? So it's not because of those trades they did last year. You know, it was just because something's working for them, whether it's the pitching, the hitting. You know, a lot of their, you know, key players have definitely, you know, turned it around. You know, Bichette, Springer.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. AT&Ts apply.
Kirk, you know, Schneider, a lot of these guys have turned it around this season, and they've been playing really good baseball, and I'm happy for them. You know, I like to see these changes. Not in my division, but I like to see the changes in other divisions. Like the Padres making this big move right now, I love it. Because I hate the Dodgers, you know. Not because they don't have great players, you know. I just hate the Dodgers because they want to grab everything. They want every play. They want all the best players, you know. Can't blame them for trying to build a super team. But I think it's unfair for the other teams that can't really compete because they don't have the money. But, you know, Boston is there as well, right behind them at 4.5. With 41 games left, I think that they have a shot as well. You know, the wild card situation in the American League is, you know, changing a lot as well. The Yankees are still holding on to that last slot, just like the Mets. But things can change, you know?
But, yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. You know, the Cleveland is only, what, half a game behind the Yankees in the last wild card spot. But, you know, what helped the Yankees is they, even though they lost, Cleveland also lost. So that helps out the Yankees. They have the same amount of losses. It's just the Yankees have two more wins. So they're technically one game behind the Yankees. Cleveland is. I'm not a big at Texas. Maybe could make a move, but they're right now at 500.
Oh, don't worry, though. Don't worry about it. You know why? Because Texas is looking forward to playing the Mets to right the ship. You know what I'm saying? Because this is where you go to right the ship this year. You go to Citi Field, you smoke the Mets, you sweep them, and then you right the ship, and then you continue to go on the amazing winning streak. This is what's happening. You know, Cleveland came in. Let me explain something to you. In the month of August, the Mets have only won two games. All right? And that's a serious problem. You know, my dad was at the game last night, like I was telling you, and, you know, we're on our way home, we're talking about the team, and I'm telling him, I was like, we have no shot. We have no pitching. You know, they're going to bring up McLean this Saturday, a pitch against Seattle, I believe. They need to bring up Sproat because we have no choice at this point. You know, I think Stearns went out there. He rebuilt the bullpen. You know what I'm saying? He got Cedric Mullins, and he's trying to figure it out, but I think he should have definitely went after, you know, a starter here and there, or he should have brought those kids up as soon as possible. I don't think we have what it takes to compete in a playoff situation. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think that we were a way better team last year without Soto, and we're going to see what happens. Soto hit a couple of, you know, hit a home run last night. Alonso keeps hitting. He's on a fire right now, but
Forget, last year your rotation was pretty much intact.
But the same thing.
Your starters, you're not going to win. Look at the Braves. Yeah. None of their starters are playing anymore. They're all hurt, and that's why they're terrible. Baltimore. None of their starters are playing. They're terrible. So it makes a difference. But this year, you know, injuries bit the Mets pretty badly from a pitching standpoint, and now they're trying to get those guys back. It's going to take a while for Manoah to get his feet under him. Montas, all those guys, they look good in their second debuts. You know, Senga, same thing. Senga, you know, he's trying to get his feet under him.
Montas got sent to the bullpen. He got sent to the bullpen.
Yeah, I saw that, which is interesting. No,
the thing is now, if they bring up these two kids, who are they going to move? Who are they going to send down? You know what I'm saying?
Someone's going to have to go. Well, it's not that bad. You could send Brazoban back down, or I don't know who else, or I don't know, maybe Reed Garrett, just to fix him up a little bit because he's been struggling. So you have options. It's not like, you know, but if I am the Mets, the question is, do you want to play the experiment game while you're still trying to make a playoff push?
Well, at this point, you have no choice.
Yeah, that's true. I guess if you gotta play with it now, then be forced to in a game three in a wild card series. And it's like, I got, what's the name? Wong, that guy, the pitcher or Tong, whatever his name is.
Tong, yeah. Tong. He's not ready. I don't think he's ready yet.
Putting him in. And yeah, I think he's still in Double A. I don't know if he's in Double A, but maybe he might be in Syracuse. But either way, so it's like, do it now while you got, you know, what's the worst that happens? They become lights out. What's the worst that happens? They don't do great and they send them back down.
I mean, we're not doing so great right now. So does that
mean you hit lightning in a bottle? And I think, you know, you got to put everything on the table because you do not want to lose that wild card spot, and you definitely don't want to. You still have the chance at the division. Five games is not insurmountable.
No, it's not. But at this point,
keeps losing, so that's
good. No pitching, no playoffs. That's how that works, bro. No pitching, no playoffs.
And
all right.
No
so
offense too.
No offense. Okay, so you're not hitting. All right. So the problem with the Mets are, it's very simple. Okay, this is what happens to every baseball team, right? Nobody wants the papers attacking these teams. All right. So if you sit Lindor down for 4 days, right, and you and you try to like restructure whatever it is that he was doing properly, you know, early on in the season, then people are gonna start talking. Why is that that money not moving? You know what I'm saying? That money's sitting there, right? Same thing with Soto. Soto goes on a losing streak. Alonso, McNeil, any of these players, they're not going to sit down. You know what I'm saying? They keep, you know, playing the platoon game with Beatty, Mauricio, Acuna sitting down in the minors right now. You just don't have a consistent lineup. You know what I'm saying? So, like, how are you supposed to get better? How are you supposed to progress? You know what I'm saying? You can't sit down the big stars because the paper's going to start talking shit. And you these guys are struggling on a nightly basis, you know what I'm saying? On a daily basis. It's whatever. I don't care no more. I know the Mets don't have it. You know, I'm going to ride it out and we'll see what happens. You know, if we make it, cool. I don't think we can go on a run, but, you know, we might get smoked in the first, you know, series of the playoffs if we make the playoffs. But I'm so done with this team. This team was not put together properly this year. I don't know. We're just not doing anything right. I feel like everything is wrong, and we have no shot.
So if the playoffs were to start today, the Mets would play San Diego?
Diego. Yeah, the number one seed. Yeah, the number one. No, that's not true. Not yet. We will play the number one, the Dodgers.
No, the number one in what?
No, in the wild card.
Milwaukee has the best record. Milwaukee and Philadelphia.
We wouldn't play. Yeah, we would play. It would be the wild card situation first.
Oh, you play the Dodgers. Okay.
We play the Dodgers.
Chicago would play San Diego. Okay, yeah.
And Chicago would play San Diego, exactly.
And you'd have to go to LA and.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know. Win three out of five. And you got to hope that your offense can pile it on. The Dodgers starting staff.
That would be the situation if the season ended today. We don't want to play the Dodgers because we know that we wouldn't be able to succeed.
You did well against them last year, so.
Yeah, but not good enough.
Almost went to game seven. It just, you know, I don't know that. It just, well, who knows? I think the players just need to do better. You can blame the manager. You can blame the GM and all that, but. You can blame Stearns. The thing is those guys can't control how those guys play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're not putting out.
So if Stearns doesn't have a lot of options or Mendoza doesn't have a lot of options, because think about it. If he looks in the farm system, he looks at these guys, the best guy I can choose is he's in AA. He might not be ready. You know what I mean? That's a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? Or who knows?
Listen, I don't know. I can't explain to you. Like, listen, Alvarez, was it doing well? He's a puppy, right? Yeah, they sent him down. He came back up. He's batting .305 in the last 16 games since he came back. All right. You can't blame him. All right. They righted the ship when it comes to him. He can't do that with the big players. The players with the contracts, they're not going to send them down. They're not going to sit them.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Down. And we're stuck with them. If they can't figure it out, you know, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. We're not going to be able to figure it out in 41 games. We don't have any pitching, all right? That's how I feel right now. I don't feel like Peterson definitely let me down last night because I feel like he was the one star of that rotation, you know? I look at Senga's numbers, and Senga's numbers are pretty decent when you look at him, you know, on paper. You're like, all right, he looks good, but no, he's not pitching well either. He can't continue to do this to us, you know. I feel like that was a bad signing for us, all right?
Senga?
Yeah, Senga was definitely
I don't think that's a bad sign. I think he's still recovering from his injury. He's not fully recovered. They kind of rushed him up because they need him And he, maybe he just was afraid to be like, no, I'm not ready yet, because he knows, you know, the team's in the playoff run. The player team needs him, so he's going to sacrifice his health. He might be 80% ready when you need him to be 100%. And, you know, he might only be 80%, and really maybe he just needed another two more weeks. But the problem is you're forcing all these guys, Montez, Manaea, and Senga, to work out their kinks now while you're in a playoff run, and that's really hard to do. And so that's a lot of pressure. So every pitch is, you know, looked at minuscule and very, you know, everything is looked at, you know, with a magnifying glass. And so it's a lot of pressure as the pitcher. And then also, you know, that like the manager is very quick to pull the trigger because he doesn't want to lose the game, and you can't afford to lose the game.
Yeah, but so I wish that was true.
You know,
I wish that was true, because he leaves him out there. He leaves him dangling out there. He knows that he wants to build that bridge. He doesn't even do that. Like yesterday, all right, once the bleeding started, he should have just said, all right, this is not looking good. It's looking like, you know, everyday business over here, and we need to get the bridge going. But it didn't work out because Gary came in and he shit the bed too. Grand slam. You know what's 9 runs in one inning? That's crazy. 6-0, bases loaded. He walks the fourth guy, gives him a run. So now it's 6-1. Then after that, the hits just start piling up. 2 more runs come in, 6-3. Then it just got real ugly.
See, this is what I would have done if I was Mendoza. I would have pulled him out after 6-3, because now you know that Atlanta's figured him out and they know his pitches.
Yeah.
So why he didn't do that? Like, did he not have someone ready in the bullpen, or is it like he's trying to be?
I mean, it was unexpected. Think about it. Fourth inning, you don't have anybody warming up in the bullpen. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You don't have anybody. Nobody, no team in baseball is doing that. You know, you
so could just start out. He gave up all 9 runs?
Well, he gave up a lot of them. I mean, he inherited a lot of the run. You know, that was all him. You know, because when Gary came in, bases were jammed, I think. It was bad. I stopped looking after that. I was like, oh my God, here we go again. Atlanta always, it never fails. Atlanta has something over the Mets.
I don't know, man. It's weird because
it's crazy.
It was 6-0, and we were talking on the group chat, and I was just like,
we were laughing. Something was wrong. Everything was good.
I knew something was wrong because all of a sudden the phone became very quiet. I was doing Instacart, you know, just mind, you know, doing other things, watching the Orioles. And then I said, why is it so quiet in this group chat? And then I was like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, it wasn't funny anymore.
What happened?
Yeah, the stickers stopped coming. On.
Yeah, I Craig is very good to tell us when the Mets are winning, when they're losing. When Craig you is can quiet, tell. The Mets are losing. When Craig is off his chains and he's throwing out text after text, you know the Mets are doing well. So it's just, once again, pitching failed. But then, and then the other thing is that the thing that impressed me with the Braves was their pitching staff just completely retired the whole Mets the rest of the way. They couldn't do anything.
The Mets couldn't score any more runs.
The Braves are terrible as far as starting pitching goes, and the bullpen is terrible. They trade away to Iglesias, finally. It just, you know.
At 9-6.
Like, Mets should have taken advantage of them, but.
Yeah, 9-6 is doable. But then Ozuna came in and hit another one, hit a home run, and forget about it.
Yeah, 11, it was. Ozuna, yeah, it was just 11.
It was over. After that, I was like, okay, now it's really over. You know, like, 9-6, I was like, all right, 3 runs, we can handle that. Even you said that on the chat. You
were it
like,
was
you
a 6-inning. It's 3
runs. Like, it's 3 runs.
It's not insurmountable.
Nah, but we got shut down. We got shut down.
But then Olsen got a walk, and then Ozuna came in, and that was the dagger. Today's
the rubber match. The rubber match today.
You got to win. It's Bryce Elder versus Senga. Elder's been struggling.
Well, we haven't won a series in August yet. We haven't won a series in August yet. Like I said, we only won 2
Senga
games.
He's 7-4, but you got to look at the last 3 games. He's
but the numbers are good. The numbers are good, but he's not. When, you know, you watch this guy, it's just not working out. That fork ball, ghost ball, whatever the hell you want to call it, isn't working anymore. Nobody's falling for that. They figured it out, but listen, I'm a batter. You know what I'm saying? I like baseball. I can play, right? So, like, if I have an 0-2 count and I'm, you know, Senga's pitching to me, I already know what's coming. That third pitch, 0-2, that fork ball is coming at least 3 times in a row consecutively. It's coming because this is what he does.
3 times in a bat at best. He always starts off with that and then tries to close it out.
Yeah.
He'll throw a fastball in the middle of the game, in the middle of the bat.
Yeah, it's so weird. You know exactly what's coming. Nobody's falling for that anymore. You know what I'm saying? I've seen the guy. His last start, 0-2 count, four straight balls, walk. I mean, it's crazy. I don't care for that guy anymore either. Like, this season's a bust. But you know what? If San Diego can pull it off, I'll definitely jump on San Diego's bandwagon, Detroit's bandwagon on the American side, and hopefully
I'm not jumping on Toronto.
No, I'm not jumping on Toronto. I don't really care for Toronto. You know what I'm saying? But I can definitely jump on Detroit's, you know, bandwagon, and I can jump on that San Diego bandwagon, and I'll go for a ride there, and I'll watch.
I'll jump on Seattle. I want to see how they do.
Okay. Seattle. I think this still early for them.
They're number one in the wild card right now, but just a game up on the Red Sox. Definitely not rooting for the Red Sox, Yankees, or the Blue Jays. They can all kick rocks. But Seattle would be interesting because Seattle is like they're like Toronto. They're always good in the regular season, but when the playoffs come, they always choke it away. They haven't won since the early 2000s, man. That's crazy with Tino Martinez, Tino Martinez. Think so, and all these guys, Ichiro, and stuff like that. So they, I don't know what it is with them. They're an interesting bunch.
Listen, Detroit and San Diego in the World Series, if the Mets can't make it, I don't know. That's how I see it. Let it be like that. I don't want the Dodgers to take anything or go on a run in the playoffs. I hate them. I really don't want them to figure it out. And I don't want a repeat. I definitely don't want that. That's going to suck, you know, because it's going to show us that we're not even close to being that squad that can just run through stuff. I mean, the pitching definitely did it. The same thing happened to you. Pitching. So upset.
Pitching is everything. And look at the Yankees. There were two reasons why the Yankees are terrible. They've fallen so far. I think they've done worse than the Mets, and I think the Mets, it's not based on errors. It's just based on bad pitching and not scoring runs. For the Yankees, it's just completely errors, and nobody scores runs other than Giancarlo Stanton or Judge. You know, you keep bringing this guy, Williams. He blows the game every time he comes in. You got to – it's just, as a Yankee fan, it's like, why do you keep pitching? And then you bring in Duvall. He had a messed-up game. Bednar's been okay. And then they put in – another thing they keep doing – is they keep playing players out of position. He put in this new guy, Caminero, whatever his name is, they got from Tampa Bay, put him in the outfield, and he makes a bad play, misses the ball, and they lose the game in Miami. I was like, what are you doing?
It's just keep playing players out of position. Yeah, it's
pretty
bad.
They don't know what they're doing. So I think there's more heat, in my opinion, there's more heat on the Yankees than the Mets. I don't see the Mets making any moves in the post if the season were to end in a way where they get kicked out in the first round. I don't see them getting rid of anybody. It's just, you know, this is like their one year. They'll be like, all right, you got to figure it out next summer, you know?
No, well, this is the problem. I can't really blame Stearns because this kind of happened last year as well, where we had that slow start, right? And Stearns gets interviewed and he's like, I really can't understand why this team can't perform, you know, because he puts the pieces together. We all know he's a great mind when it comes to that. And then these things happen. And then he's scratching his head and he can't figure out why his product isn't working. And I understand him on that because this team proved to us that they were great. The rotation was amazing. You know, he didn't go after these big names in the offseason, but he put together a great squad. And it worked out for him for a very long time. We were number one in pitching for a while. We went on that run. We looked like we were going to stomp all over everybody. And look what happened. We hit a wall. And the wall, you know, when you hit a wall in baseball, it's usually one thing or another. It's not everything at the same time. And this is the problem with the Mets, you know. All right, we had the number one pitching. We were hitting. Alonso was carrying the team. Soto was trying to figure it out. Then Lindor got hot. So you had Lindor and Alonso hitting. Soto was getting on base via walk. Everything was kind of like working out. We were winning a lot of games. Then all of a sudden, the pitching didn't pan out and it stopped working. Then we stopped hitting altogether. So everything at the same time. And it caused the derailment of the Mets in 2025. And Stearns is probably scratching his head like, I don't understand. I put this team together and I know I did a good job. It's just, and it worked because everybody saw it. The fans saw it. The paper saw it. Everybody saw it. Nobody could talk shit about the Mets in the beginning of the season. And then we completely fell apart. We're losing left and right. Can't win a game to save our lives. We don't have that comeback magic that we had last year, you know?
Yeah, well, let's switch to some good news. The good news with the Mets is Pete Alonso is the number one all-time home run hitter for the Mets. But I just find it how low that number is. It's only, what,
255. Right now it's like 53? Now it's like 255 or something like that.
I think that's crazy how low that is. I feel like it's more compared to, I don't know, it's like...
I know, but think about it. You know how hard it is? And think about it. You would have to, you know, be around for...
You have to play a lot of games.
Yeah. A lot of games. You have to play a lot of games and you have to stay on the team. And, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. You know, players don't stick around for as long to be able to break records like that, you know? Household names on a ball club.
Well, nowadays they don't.
They don't. That's exactly why.
That's why it's impressive with Pete, because he's done in a short amount of time.
Yes, he did.
Strawberries of the world and, you know, and all those guys.
Yeah, he did it in
a long time, you know?
He did it in like 100 and change less games than Strawberry, you know? He did it a lot faster than Strawberry. But, yes. You know, Strawberry was a great player. Don't get it twisted. But he wasn't a real, like, I don't consider him a home run hitter like Alonso is. Alonso's a true slugger, you know? Strawberry was just a great all-around player.
Oh, hold on.
And, no problem. So, I don't understand why Alonso, you know, hasn't been able to like put it together and continue to hit the way he was early on in the season. Yeah, he struggled to get these home runs and get this record, but that record means nothing to me, to be honest with you. I feel like that's a afterthought. Right now we need to focus on what's important. I believe it's going to be some sort of like ceremony for him today. It was supposed to happen yesterday, but due to the rain, it didn't happen. But all right, yeah, you broke the record and you know, who cares? We're not winning. We're not winning. I don't really care for that.
Yeah, I feel like that's, I don't know, that's a silly thing.
You want to shine a light on that?
They did it when he hit the game. When they paused the game when he hit the home run. So I don't know why they're doing it again.
But, yeah, ceremony. Forget about that. We're not in the mood for this.
I
focus on, yeah, exactly. Focusing on winning the first series of August. That's what we need to focus on a team that has 52 wins, you know what I'm saying, and 68 losses. This team ain't going to make the playoffs. This team has to figure it out. But you have to understand now, if we don't make the playoffs, if we make the playoffs and get smoked in the first round, we really need to figure out what we're going to do with this pitching rotation. My dad's like, yeah, well, you know, we put contracts up. Now we have to pay these guys. Yeah, but I don't care about that because Cohen's going to have to eat it up. He's going to have to get rid of these guys and start fresh. We're going to have to get some big names. We're going to have to build a nice rotation. We're going to have to figure out who's the true third baseman on this team, who's the true second baseman on this team, and who belongs on the bench. We did not, you know, figure that out this year. We were too loose with these players on the field. You can't play one game, sit down for three, come back up on the fourth day and expect people to hit. It doesn't work like that in baseball. You have to be consistent. It's like golf, you know? If I play golf today and I have a great game, guess what? If I don't play for 3-4 games, when I come back, my mechanics are going to be off, you know? You have to be consistent. And that's not what the Mets are doing. But forget about the Mets. Let's talk about, what do you think the Baltimore Orioles need to do in the offseason? What are you looking at?
Pitching. They need pitching.
So a whole new rotation. A whole new rotation?
No, you have some hope. Eflin should be back. He's out. He's now done for the season. He's going to get surgery. Trevor Rogers, who they got from last year, he's been great since he got back from the injury. So he's going to be a part of your rotation. You'll get Kyle Brash back. You'll get Tyler Wells back. Grayson Rodriguez, he got hurt again. I think he needs to just hang it up. He's just injury prone. He just gets hurt too much. So now the question is, I'm looking at the the upcoming free agent pitchers, starting pitchers that are available.
Oh, please do. Yeah, tell me what's up there.
Some of them are, you know, like Jordan Montgomery. He's passed. Okay. He was terrible in Arizona. Buehler's passed. Martinez might be a good signing. You know, Chris Bassett, you know him from the Mets.
I don't want that. I don't like
him. Who else? Luis Giolito from Boston. He might be good. Sales, he's a club option. Farmer Valdez, that'd be amazing. He'd be good, but he's going to want a lot of money. That's the guy from Houston. Miles Mikolas, he's also really good for the Cardinals.
Yeah,
I think the Cardinals would be crazy if they don't re-sign him, but Jack Flaherty, he played for the Orioles, but he was terrible. And he's, you know, Montas is a free agent. I don't know if the Mets, that's a player option, meaning he could stay or he can
He's not staying.
Scherzer's old. He's done. Verlander's old. Charlie Bourne, he's done. Nah. He's not going to come back. Cody Senga, I don't know if that's a player option. Alex Cobb, former Oriole, they were terrible. So it's not a lot of big name people.
All right, so that means we have to look for
Dylan Cease maybe. And I could see them, Shota and Manga from
Cease didn't have a good year this year. He's not having a good year this year. He's cooled off a little bit. But you know what? That all that means right there is perfect.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's not a lot of good options, right? So we're going to have to bring up our players and use the farm system. That's what it's for, right?
Or trade for a star pitcher.
Obviously. Yeah, but the trading situation is, you know, it's already stinky. You know what happens. You know, people want to rape you. They want to take everything from you for a starter. This is the problem with that. But you know what? All right. So at this point, I have a feeling we're not going to make it. So let's just bring up the youth and develop them properly. So if you bring them up right now and give them a couple of starts under their belt so they can have something to work with when the season comes back around, is, I think, the move at this point.
Bring them up, but have them as long relief guys. Okay, so for example, like in yesterday's game, you know, he couldn't get out of the fourth inning, the pitcher. All right, now let me try this new guy. Let's see if he can go at least 3 innings and see how he does. You know, just
double up. Yeah. I was just saying.
Yeah.
So double up. So you have two starters, they both go 4 and then break into the bullpen. You understand? We have so many people in the bullpen, we're not even using them. We're using the same guys every day. They're becoming villains in the Mets fan base, you know what I'm saying? Because every time they come up, it's like, oh man, here comes this guy. You know what I'm saying? We don't
Who's
like that.
He's going to choke next.
Exactly. And, you know, Garrett got booed last night. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's getting serious. The Mets fan base is getting really, they're not like that. That's why we know. They're getting impatient. You know what I'm saying? That's not what happens at Citi Field. We're not like that. The fan base isn't like that. You know, when you hear all those boos, you know, it's like, wow, we're really upset here. You know, we're not having it. Product on the field isn't producing what, you know, like we like. But whatever. You know, this is like this podcast right here, this episode right here is really hard for me. I actually, like, you know, I see it happening and I don't want any parts of it. I feel like I just want the season to be over. If we make it, cool. If we don't, but we definitely have a lot of problems and we have to fix them. We're not going to be able to fix them on the mound. You know, like you said, it's going to be hard to tweak and fix and do all this while the situation is happening. We're going to have to, like, you know, let the dust settle and figure out exactly what's wrong with our team. I know what's wrong with it. I wish I had a week to, you know, tinker, and I would definitely have a lot to say and I would change things. I mean, would they work? I don't know.
I really still want to know. I truly believe that the Mets really wanted a starting pitcher. It's just the asking price was too much, and that's probably why they didn't go after not getting a starting pitcher in my
opinion. Yeah, of course they are. But the thing is, all right, so you want to stay in contention, you want to fight, right? So you have to do what you have to do. All right, at the end of the day, you know, you say, all right, this didn't pan out, you know. I can totally tell that Cedric Mullins is not going to be a Met next year.
Yeah, I've been watching some of his. He's been all right, but he doesn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, he's not. Exactly. I don't think he's going to be.
I don't know what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's another problem for another day. You know what I'm saying? Because we have so many problems. I don't even want to attack that right now. I want to attack the rotation. I want to see us, you know, prevail. I don't think that this rotation has what it takes. You know, I'll keep Manaea. If Senga, you know, has an option to stay, and he's going to stay because he knows that he didn't have a good year, and he's going to have to build off of something good to get paid, right? He's not going to go to free agency now and expect anybody to pick him up unless they have a plan for him. You know, this is what the Mets were doing last year. They were taking up these no names and turning them into something. Yeah. And it worked for a while, right? But now it worked for 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. It worked a year and a half because they worked for the first half and didn't work for the second half, obviously.
Yeah, it works when they don't figure you out. When they figure you out, it's like, okay.
Yeah, we got it's you. Bad.
And then the thing is with baseball is, and a lot of pitchers don't know how to do this, is when a batter knows you're pitching, you gotta learn how to adapt and, you know, reinvent yourself kind of. And you know, if you start like you say, if you keep throwing a fork ball, you gotta come up with different pitches. You can't always throw your strong suit all the time, you know what I mean?
No, that doesn't work anymore.
Great, you know, but eventually you're just gonna wear out that, you know, people are gonna figure you out.
All right. So you see what you just said. You said, right? So like when a pitcher first comes up, right, nobody knows him. All right, there's tape out there. You can watch the tape all you want, but experience and the at bats help you adjust to, you know, whatever this pitch is doing, you know? So it's kind of like figure it out. Look what happened yesterday. All right, Carrasco, I already knew that we were going to light him up, right? Because I was like, you know, Cookie's old. he's not what he used to be. You know, he moved around a lot. The Yankees tried to use him. It didn't work out there, you know. Atlanta picked him up because they need help. But we already knew we were going to smoke him, but it just didn't work out, you know? He was decent when he played for the Mets, but I don't think that, you know, I didn't think that was gonna happen last night. That's for sure. So we were gonna win 6-2, maybe 6-3, but man, did we shit the bed? Now we're playing a rubber match against the Atlanta Braves. That's crazy to me. It's supposed to be easy wins. My dad keeps looking at the schedule. He's like, we got this. We have to, you know, Washington coming up and. I'm like, Seattle's tough, Dad. We have to play Detroit in September. We have a lot of problems, you know. The Phillies are coming too, you know. Like, I don't. The Phillies are a better team than the Mets, you know what I'm saying? They started off slow. They have really good pitching. Wheeler is still electric. We're in trouble. I just want the season to be over. And if the Phillies win this division, you know what? I don't hate the Phillies. The Phillies are a tough out. You know, they have a really, you know, scrappy team, you know. I definitely don't hate the Phillies like you hate the Yankees.
Well, yeah. No, I just hate the Yankees because they always have the Orioles number. So, you know, if the Phillies had the Mets number, I think you would hate the Phillies.
No, no, no. I don't hate the Phillies. I never really hated the Phillies. I hate the Philly fans, but I don't hate the Phillies. But you know what? How could you hate the fans? You know, they stand behind their team. They're just as fucking crazy as the team is. The team is, I like that team. Philadelphia. Listen, they have a great team. That's all I can say. We look really bad. I don't care who's writing about us. Everybody's talking shit about us. You know what I'm saying? We can't figure it out. All these big names. The Soto move. I don't know about the Soto move anymore. Yeah, you know. He seems unhappy.
It's too early, man. One season is be like, you know.
I don't know. It happened to Lindor.
Look at Lindor. I was going to say Lindor.
Yeah, Lindor's a perfect example.
Look what happened to Lindor. Everyone thought he was going to hate it in New York. And now he's doing just as better, if not better, in New York than he did in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely became a superstar.
It's adjustment period, you know what I mean? There's a lot of pressure going into it. He came onto a team that's already played, that went to, was one game away from going to a World Series. So now everyone's putting the pressure. I'm like, oh, you're the reason why they're going to win the World Series. Now, come on, dude. You know how much pressure that is? You know, and that's just, that's a lot. And
yeah, but he didn't go into the situation properly either. I feel like he went into the situation with, like, that Yankee mentality. Like, oh, I have to carry this team on my back. He wants to be that leader. He's not the leader on this squad, you know? He has to understand that he's just a piece. All right, it should be easier for him to just go up and say, all right, let me relax and let me just hit the ball. He wants to do so much. He wants to be, you know, the guy that carries. You don't have to carry anything, you know what I'm saying? Right now, nobody's carrying this team. This team sucks, all right? Nobody's hitting all this money, and we're not doing anything right. Just not.
See, Soto, that's why he's doing well in New York, because the Judge was the leader, so he didn't have all that pressure. So he could just be loosey-goosey, you know, do what he does. But now that you're in New York, he wants that leadership role, but he can't. You know, it's like a point guard. Like, you know, somebody wants to be the point guard, but they're not good at being the leader on the basketball court with the point guard. You got to be the distributor and do everything, you know, position the players on the court properly.
Exactly.
Some players, yeah, you might be good at dribbling the ball. Like, look, for example, Kyrie Irving, right? Great example. He's a great player. He's very good with the ball, right? He came to Brooklyn, wanted to try to be a leader. It didn't work. He's just not a leader. He's a great second fiddle. He's good with LeBron. He did well when he was with Durant, but he just can't. Look at Boston. When he was in Boston, it was terrible. He couldn't lead the team.
He couldn't.
But now that he's in Dallas, and you know, Luka was there. You know, he did well. But so that's just an example I have. Same thing. Soto's great. He's good. But if he's not the main guy, the problem is. The Mets don't have a true leader. You like it to be Alonso because he's the longest tenured Met. Lindor, he has leadership abilities. Nimmo is probably your best, in my opinion.
That's my captain. That's my captain.
You ask me? Too. That's
my captain.
I like him. He reminds me of Judge. He's quiet, humble. He comes to work. You know, he's
struggling.
Every day.
Struggling.
But even through the struggles, he's going to give it his best. He's not going to put his head down. He's not going to, you know, make a big fuss about it. He's like, okay, cool. It's what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is. Like I said, he got 14 years to figure it out. More like probably 7-8 years. So, man. If you're waving the white flag now, it's not a good idea. I think he'll be fine. I say by next year he'll be back in mid-season form.
All right, so forget about all that now. Let's move on. Let's talk about the MVP for this year. All right, we have a list here. We're going to talk about it, right? So in the American League, the front runner for the MVP is Aaron Judge, obviously. Then number two, Kyle Raleigh for the Seattle Mariners. Number three, Bobby Witt Jr. for the Royals. And number four is going to be Jose Ramirez for the Cleveland Guardians. We're going to talk about those guys. These are the guys that we were just talking about, people that, you know, can carry a team on their back, right? This is what an MVP does, right? An MVP at the end of the year is like, wow, no matter what happened this year, when we needed a run, when we needed a hit, these guys were there for us, all right? So Kyle Raleigh has been that guy. We spoke about him multiple times this year. He's doing amazing things. He's about to break records when it comes to home runs for catchers, even though, you know, he DHs on his days off. But, you know, I think Aaron Judge is going to run away with that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, especially if he... Well,
yeah.
My two guys would be Judge or Raleigh. Kyle Raleigh, because they're literally carrying both of those teams.
Yes, sir.
If you took those two guys away from their teams,
they would struggle.
Would be just like the Orioles, under 500 or at 500.
Okay, so these are true MVPs. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is what we were just talking about. This is
Ramirez
perfect transition.
Is on a team, you know, Ramirez is a Jose Ramirez. He's on a team that's just at 500. They're not going to make the playoffs. Sorry.
Nah, Cleveland, you don't fans. Know. We never know. If the Yankees keep falling.
The Yankees falling apart.
Exactly.
But you got to go on the win streak. They, you know what I mean? You got to put a, you know, you got to be like the, you got to be like the Brewers and put on a 12-game winning streak if you want to be considered a serious contenders. So in my opinion, it's Kyle Raleigh. He's literally carrying that team. They're doing good. Right now, Seattle's the first wild card spot. We're playing Baltimore. Baltimore, I have to say, even though in the series, they played them pretty well so far. They lost the first game 1-0 and won the second game on a walk-off. Today's the rubber match. So it'll be interesting. If they take 2 out of 3 from Seattle, I'd be impressed. Seattle, they have good starting pitching, but the rotation is kind of suspect at times. Some of their main other guys aren't stepping up like they need them to be. What's his name? Rodriguez, the center fielder. He hasn't been all that productive as they wanted him to do. And, you know, he was great 2 years ago. And then Julio Rodriguez, I don't know what happened. He kind of came back to earth a little bit, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it happens.
But
it happens.
I have to say Kyle Raleigh because, you know, the reason why, you know, Judge won a couple years ago is because, one, he literally carried the team with all those home runs, his 62 home runs. Same thing with Kyle Raleigh. He might, you know, he's close to getting, 50 home runs already? He has, 48, I think, something like that?
Something like that. It's crazy because, these guys come up to play. You know, when this guy's up on the, you know, at the plate, you're scared. You know, this is the guy that, you know, you're like, oh, man, on second and third, 2 outs, we're losing, you know, we're winning by 1. This is the guy that's going to ruin your day, you know? So we're going with Judge. Now, in the National League, you already know what's going on here. But I like this. Check this out. So, front runner, Shohei Ohtani, obviously. He's still hitting like a maniac. It's amazing how there's a big difference between what he was able to do in Anaheim and what he's doing with the Dodgers. You know, you place a guy in the right position and, you know, he couldn't do it with the Anaheim Angels. He couldn't take, you know, with Trout and Shohei there. They still couldn't pull it off, right? But now look at him at the Dodgers. He's doing his thing. Number 2 is going to be Pre-Crow Armstrong. And that pisses me off because you already know why that pisses me off. Because that was our guy.
Why does that
piss you off? Oh, man. Why? Because we got rid of that amazing stud for a bum who's doing great now in Detroit. That's how that works. We're not going to talk about this person. We're not going to, you know, I don't want to talk shit about these players. You know what I'm saying? They play, you know, the way they play for certain reasons, you know. Maybe he didn't have the spark under him, you know. He didn't, I don't know. It just, he's doing well over there. He couldn't do well for us. You know, we lost a great, great guy because of it. Now he's doing amazing things in Chicago, and he's second in line for that MVP. I don't think he's going to win it because Shohei is just so amazing. Number 3, Fernando Tatis Jr. All right, another guy that's kind of like rejuvenated his career, you know. It's crazy, and this is why San Diego's doing so well as well. You know, it's not Kyle Tucker.
And the thing with Tatis, sorry to interrupt, is...
That's okay, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. So the thing with Tatis, remember, he started off as a shortstop, and then he got booted out and was forced to go play... he was forced to go play right field, I guess. And he's been doing pretty great, you know. So I didn't think that transition was going to work out. So the fact that he's able to transition, he's doing well. But his bat's been great. My pick would be PCA just because he also, like Raleigh, has literally carried the Cubs. You know, the good thing with the Cubs is they have a good rotation, so that helps too. But I would go with PCA. I know that's tough. But see, it's crazy because, you know, that's the thing with prospects. When you make those trades,
you don't know
who's going to be good or good not. You know, they could all be bust, you know. You never know.
You just don't know.
Look at the San Diego Padres. All the guys they traded for Juan Soto. I don't know how many of those guys are, you know, doing well. You know, doing well in Washington. I guess they're doing. McGore was one of them. Mackenzie Gore. So they're doing.
CJ Abrams,
James Wood. All those guys got traded for Soto. So I guess they're doing well. But, you know, there's some trades that, you know, it doesn't work out. So, who knows? But, you know, baseball is about in the moment. You can't worry about the future. Because the future is not going to get you a World Series. It's about if you're in the moment and you got a chance, look at the Braves in 21. They went all in. And the guys that got, it just happened to work well. Peterson, all these other guys, you know, Charlie Morton and all those guys. But, you know, it worked. You know, they're not going to care about what prospects they gave up. Because in the other day, when you're in the moment, you want to win the World Series, you know, that's the goal. That's why you make all these. That's why. Why do you think San Diego went so hard this summer? Even the Mets, they went aggressive with all the relief pitchers and center fielders. Why? Because they believe they can do it. They got the talent. The problem with the Mets is not lack of talent; it's just the lack of production on the bullpen, and not the bullpen, the starting rotation, and then lack of production from
the lineup and the rotation.
From the lineup, you know, which is crazy because, in my opinion, I think the Mets are more talented than Yankees. If you think
of course.
About it,
no,
know,
of
they
course.
Got more experience. You know, for the Yankees, who's their main experience guy? Judge, Stanton, and Chisholm. If you think about it, who else? Maybe Rodon. You know, yeah. Freed is experienced. Cole, he's going to be back next year.
I think we're way better than them on paper, but that's on paper. Paper doesn't count.
No, paper doesn't count. Look at paper everyone thought count. The Orioles were going to be good. Look how trash they are.
No, like you said, no pitching, so that's how it works. Now, we're experiencing the same problem, but the number four in that MVP slot in the National League is Kyle Tucker for the Chicago Cubs again. I think Shohei's going to take it. I don't have no doubt in my mind, you know, especially if they make the playoffs. You know, Chicago's struggling. They have to make the playoffs. They have to, you know, stay on that wild card situation. They were coasting, and now they have to fight. Let's see how good they are. Now, when it comes to the Cy Young in the American League, right, the front runner, who do you think the front runner is for the American League in the Cy Young department? He plays for the Detroit Tigers.
Skewball.
Exactly. Skewball. There you go.
Yes, him in the National League, it's got to be Skeens.
And see, exactly, you're 100% right.
All right, so the American League.
The top four, I'm going to give you the four. So
top four.
It's going to be Tarik Skubal, obviously, Garrett Crochet for the Boston Red Sox, Hunter Brown for the Houston Astros, and Framber Valdez for the Astros.
Houston, yeah.
Yep, that's a tie for third.
He's a free agent, yeah.
Yeah, so this is what we have. So then in the National League, of course, Paul Skeens pitching, you know, he's great. Listen, he needs to play on a team that is competitive and is a contender, and the Pirates just have to suck it up and, you know, get prospect rich and stop playing games because they're not going anywhere and they're wasting talent. I mean, let's just get it done. And you know what? With all those, you know, prospects you're going to get for this guy, you should be able to contend. You know, you're not going to get garbage for this guy. So let's make it happen, guys, please. And then number two is Christopher Sanchez for the Phillies, Zach Wheeler for the Phillies, and Andrew Abbott for the Cincinnati Reds. I'm sorry, but I think that Skeens is definitely going to take it. And Zach Wheeler is going to take the Phillies to the promised land. That's how I feel. I think that this is how it works. It's just crazy like that. We're coming to the point of the show where Lash is going to tell us who the hitter and the pitcher of the week is. And that's all yours, brother.
Yes, so the gunslinger of the week is Nathan Eovaldi of the Texas Rangers. He pitched against the Yankees on August 5th in a 2-0 shutout. Eight innings, one
eight
hit, zero
that's
earned
amazing.
Runs.
I wish eight innings.
Six strikeouts. You know, it's a rarity because you don't see a lot of pitchers going eight innings.
Exactly.
I missed the old days in the early 2000s. That's what made the Yankees so dominant. Even the Mets, you know, back in the 2000s, they had pitchers, and then you just bring in Billy Wagner in the ninth, and boom, game's
shut
over.
It down.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about this silly nonsense.
Pitching.
And then hitter of the week would be Bryce Terang on August 3rd versus the Washington Nationals, a 14-3 Milwaukee win. He went
That's
2
crazy.
For 6. And this is part of the 12-game winning streak, by the
way. Of course it is. Of course it is.
2 for 6, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, and 2 runs. I had separate options, but those are the best guys. And, it's just Milwaukee, man. It's funny because in baseball this year, there's, like, no clear dominant team. It just might be Milwaukee.
Yeah, those streaks are crazy.
You know what's amazing about Milwaukee, man? They get all these starting pitchers, and then they lose them to free agency or trades, but they still stay pretty well.
But,
it's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
and then they get rid of Devin Williams. They know
they're
they
like the
something.
Rays, you know? They're like the Rays in the American League where they lose all their star players to free agency and then just keep, you know, refilling it, the farm system. They, you know, stay afloat, always good. And
yeah.
That's what the Brewers remind me of. So,
yeah, that's baseball country right now.
I wouldn't want to face them. You know, if I'm on the last wild card team, I got to face them in the second round because you're going to face them in the second round because right now they're first place. So they get a first round bye along with whoever the second place is. I would not want to play them because there's a good chance you could get swept or lose, you know.
Swept,
or
smoked,
three out of
smoked.
Five.
The way these guys are playing right now, they don't want to lose. All right. The way they did that shit to Chicago, I can't believe it. You know, for months. Since the season started, we saw Chicago light it up and go on a run. And then all of a sudden, Milwaukee was just doing their thing slowly but surely, slowly but surely. And look at Chicago now. 8 games back. I would never expect that. It's pretty crazy. You know, I don't have a problem with that team either. You know, they don't bother me. But I want San Diego to take it if the Mets can't make it, you know. But it's okay.
Yeah. I'm waiting for San Diego because they got 2 Orioles on there. They got O'Hearn and Laureano, and they've been both great. I don't know how they're doing.
And I don't know if Tatis is your favorite player. But
yeah, so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm not sold on the Dodgers. They're just streaky at times. They have a lot of holes in their line, you know, in their rotation.
Yeah, but in a short series, you know.
But in a 3-game series, in
exactly.
A wild card,
you already
which
know.
It's not going to happen, but, you know, I'm just saying.
What do you mean? You're telling me that the Dodgers are going to win the division? That's what you think? I don't think the Dodgers are going to win the division either. Listen. We're going to see, all right? Those 6 games that are coming up, those 2 series against the Dodgers with San Diego, we're going to see how that plays out. We're going to see. I'm definitely going to be watching. I don't care what time it is. I will be that sleepy guy at work, but I want to see that series. And we're coming to the point of the show where, you know, we try to stump Lasha. And you might be able to get this. I don't know. Let's see. All right. Which major league pitcher retired with 5,714 strikeouts and 5,387 innings. All right, so that's a lot of strikeouts, all right?
So one, that's a lot of strikeouts. So here's my thing. I'm going to break it down. My thing is, all right, so with all those innings, that means that it was probably someone that was either in the late 80s, 90s, or 2000s. Because in those times, pitchers pitched at least minimum of 7 innings.
Exactly. So to be able to carry,
the strikeouts is where I kind of think it could be someone more recent because more players nowadays strike out more, you know, more pitchers throw more gas so they can strike out. They have a higher strikeout rate than those guys did in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
But when you're pitching for longer, when you're pitching for longer, you get more strikeouts too.
That's true because you can, that's true. So, and there was no this, you know, we got Cotto. You go, oh, you got a rest. Oh, my goodness. Might break your leg if you pitch in 7 innings. No. Oh, my goodness. His left arm's going to fall off. But that was – so I'm going to go with someone in the early 2000s. Or I was going to guess Nolan Ryan.
Get out of here. How did you guess that?
No, I mean, say because I just think about that how he was always so dominant. He always pitched long innings or long, you know, pitching a lot of innings. But he played a long career, you know?
Yeah.
So that's going to be my guess.
That's 100% correct, bro.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Because I just think about, you know what made me think about him? Because he had the highest, he's known for one of the top 10, you know, in top 5 in strikeouts, you know?
Yeah, he's the man.
A long time with the Astros and, you know, was the Astros or Texas Rangers? I get confused.
It was Astros.
Astros, yeah.
Yeah,
was his number?
Yeah, that was
the numbers
it.
Again.
I told you, so 5,714 strikeouts and 5,387 innings. So he was striking out multiple guys, you know, say per inning to be able to tally something crazy like that. Yeah. He's definitely one of the greatest pitchers of all time. You hit it right on the head. I'm surprised. I was like, damn, he's gonna go crazy. He's gonna mention a whole bunch of names that we haven't heard of in years, but you hit it right on the head.
Well, that's because I had to break it down because
it's
a tricky question because what alarmed me was the strikeouts, but then I saw the innings, so I had to break the two apart. I was like, well, let's see. We know it's not a recent pitcher in the sense of innings because a lot of pitchers don't pitch 7 innings.
Exactly.
Okay, but we do have pitchers that pitch a lot of that throw a lot of strikeouts because more people throw faster than ever before. So then I said, well, maybe. But then I was like, you know what? Like you said before, it's got to be someone that pitched for a long period of time. And, you pitch a long period of time plus 7 innings per start every game. It's got to be someone that's in the old, you know, in the early.
Yeah.
He was the 80s?
That was like 80s, yeah. Like.
Yeah, 80s. So, yeah, I was in the ballpark. So I like to break down the question just to, and that's how I figured it out. But, because you're not going to see someone with that. You will never see a pitcher in today's time with that amount of innings and strike. You might get the strikeouts, but innings, I don't think you get the innings at the strikeouts because think about it. If a guy goes average of 5 innings, you know, it's average, what, a good pitcher, a great pitcher, like a Skubal or a Skeens, they're going to get, what, 6-7 maybe? But those guys are pitching like 6 innings at best. You know what I mean? They're not pitching 4 innings, 5 innings, you know, unless, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's a rarity nowadays. It sucks. But I like the old school way of pitching. You know, I saw an interview the other day. The Yankees had an old-timers day, and they're interviewing Roger Clemens. And he was saying how, like, pitching is so much different now. It's just like you knew that when you were going to put in the game, you were going to pitch at least 8 innings, and the manager was going to let you go because he trusted you. Now they don't trust these guys anymore, and they're so terrified, and I don't know what it is. And they're worried about the stupid numbers, and it's just you. Baseball is not about numbers. Yes, it is, but it's not. It's about feelings. And if the guy has it, let him go. Let him go. You know, built up his confidence. If he knows that he can go 8 innings in the game, and he feels good, and he's throwing like 80 pitches, okay, you know what? I could do this again next time in the next 5 days from now, you know? Keep going, yeah. Keep going. You build up the stamina. They don't do that with pitches anymore.
Exactly.
It's because, you know why that is? It's because they're told to throw gas. What happens when you throw gas? That's a lot more wear and tear on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You're more likely to get Tommy John surgery. So it's just the game is different. So there's some things I like, some things I don't like. But
exactly.
Anyway, this was a good podcast. I had fun. I can't believe
It's almost over. It's almost over.
Yeah, but good news is, you know, RSS reached out to us, and they're thinking so in this episode, there's a good chance for you listening that you're gonna come in, run across a couple advertisements. So we finally reached that platform where we have the opportunity to get advertisements and stuff. So if you're listening, please share the podcast with your friends, whoever, if they like baseball. And, you know, it's a good time for us. We like it. We're a lot more comfortable now. Maybe in a couple of years, we'll incorporate cameras as far as, you know, doing visuals for YouTube. But for now, this works, you know, so keep going.
Yeah.
You're doing a good job, Pablo.
Thanks. You likewise, bro. I think you're doing the job. The job is being done by you. You're the man behind the scenes, yo. You're the man. I'm the technical guy, but you're the voice of the show. You're the guy that knows, you know. But this is the funny thing. Today, you know, we did a morning podcast, you know, because the schedules are conflicting and we have a lot of baseball to look forward to today. And we have a couple of games, you know. Seattle's playing the Baltimore Orioles at 1 o'clock. Hopefully the Baltimore Orioles can soften up the Seattle Mariners for us because we're playing them next. Then we have, of course, the rubber match against the Mets in Atlanta at 7:10. I'll be there for that. Might take the old man with me. He's here on vacation. I might take him. And then we have the best match of the day, which is going to be the Chicago Cubs versus the Toronto Blue Jays, right? And they're both contending, and they both need wins, especially Chicago at this point, you know? So, and let's see what happens with that. And that's the matchup of the day in my eyes, you know? So this is what's happening in that series. It's going to be a rubber match, right? Toronto won the first game 5-1. Chicago won the second game 4-1. And at 3 o'clock today, we're going to find out the winner of that series, which is going to be interesting. I'll be watching that. I'm going to be at work, you know, in the bullpen for the Mets. Hopefully nobody gets hurt so I don't have to work overtime. But we have that matchup. Then we have Miami versus Cleveland. You know, Cleveland has to win because they're, you know, they're trying to get into the wild card
spot.
Exactly. So Cleveland needs to win today.
The Yankees have off. So if Cleveland wins, so hold up. Let me hold that thought. So if Cleveland wins, I think they'd be a half a game out of the wild card because they would have the same amount of wins, I think, as the Yankees.
That would be cool. Let's see that.
I'm looking at the wild card right now. So they would still be a game behind because
behind?
In the win column they'd have the same amount of losses, but they'd be half a game.
Gotcha.
Out of that wild card, and then the Yankees, see, in the weekend is going to be interesting because so you guys play Seattle, and then the Yankees play St. Louis. St. Louis is a tough team. They're fine for a wild card spot. So I wouldn't be surprised if Yankees lose 2 out of 3. And Cleveland, who does Cleveland have? Cleveland has, hold up. Cleveland has, I'm trying to figure out what Cleveland has. Cleveland has Atlanta, and Atlanta's not great. So there's a good chance Atlanta could get, you know, Cleveland could sweep to Atlanta. So that'd be great for them, you know.
Yeah. So we have that, right? Then we have the Phillies against Washington at the Nationals Park. Right?
They should
so
be able to sweep that series.
Hopefully Washington can win that game and help us a little, you know. Because if we win tonight, get that rubber match, right? And Washington wins, then we'll be a little closer. Like you said, it's only 4.5 games, whatever it is, 5.5 games. We need that win. We need that win tonight. Detroit's playing the Twins. Detroit has nothing to worry about. And Arizona's playing Colorado. It's not a lot of games today. It's not a lot of games today. But, you know, we'll be looking at the Chicago game, the Met game, obviously the Seattle and Baltimore game, and the Philly and Washington game. But that's the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you on the next one. Peace.